You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
See you next time. shall reign forevermore. No. Oh, Good morning, and Merry, Merry Christmas to you. It's so good. Annette and I want to let all of you know how much we just enjoy being with family and friends this time of year, and the comfort it brings, the security, the safety, that coming together with one cause, and that is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We get to do that today and really on into the next few days. God is so good, and I hope you know that he's been faithful to you, that he loves you, and that he cares for each one of us. Would you do something with me? Would you just go ahead and be seated? And we're going to take a little time this morning as this is our Sunday service. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would just prepare for our offering. If you're our guest today, don't feel obligated to give. This is something we do for those who call this church their church home. I think Christmas really is about generosity and how God was so generous to you and me and how he's blessed us. And now is an opportunity we have in this community, this faith community, to be able to say, God, we want to express our heart to you through generous giving. And Father, we want to thank you today for your generosity toward us, that we celebrate something that has been given to us that is a great gift, the greatest gift ever given, that you gave your only son to come and be born in a manger, to live a life without sin, and to give that perfect sacrifice and then conquered death in his resurrection. Thank you. As we celebrate you today, in Jesus' name we pray. And we say, amen. Again, it's so good to see you today, and what God is doing in all of our lives is so amazing, especially the celebration that we have before us today. The Christmas story that we're going to read today is found in the Gospel of John. It's the first chapter, and it's verses 1 through 13. And we're going to look at that just for a moment. This is God making the story flesh. It says this. Come on up, Brian, and read that for us, would you?
This from the book of Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. God's fulfillment of that prophecy from the book of Isaiah is found in the book of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told.
You see, you hear the prophets of old tell the story, and then it's connected again in the New Testament because we have it told in narrative form by the Gospel of Matthew, and we have another form that it's told in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke was a medical doctor. And then it's retold in poetic form by a fisherman named John. All of them telling their story in a different way. And I love the story because it opens like this in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." Wow, every time I read that, I'm just amazed. You have a wonderful story that's told here, that God makes the story flesh. Understand what's happening here. And did the people understand that were there that day, that time? Did the angels really know the magnitude of what they were singing in the fields to the shepherds? Did the shepherds really know? Did they understand when they ran and they bowed down appropriately to this little baby? So here's what happened. The one who created the story and really the world entered the world in flesh. The one who created the world became a creature. Imagine that, a human being. God became man like you and me. Now that's good news because humans like us often mess up the storyline. We have problems in our life. There's brokenness. There's sin. There's these things that we deal with. But God becomes a man and he redeems us. To me, that's newsworthy. To me, that's something that needs to be on the front page of every paper around the world. This is amazing. You see, I can believe the living God doing great and wonderful miracles. In the Old Testament, I can believe that he's parted the Red Sea. I can believe that he made the sun stand still. But this, what the living God did on this first Christmas Eve, this is amazing. Have you ever heard something so fantastic than that God became flesh? He became one of us. The creator became a creature. God became man. The story became flesh. I want you to listen to the first words written by John once again. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And this incredible declaration, all things were made through him, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson says it this way. He says, "The Word moved into our neighborhood and took up residence among us." The word for word that's said here that John uses is the Greek word logos. And you have to wonder why he chose that word. Logos comes from the English language, or the English language that we use is the word logic or logical. One is logical who lives by logic, or one is logical who lives by the logo. Now here's something that we need to understand about this. Why does this fisherman begin the story about Jesus by calling him the Logos? Why not use the word son? Because that is actually the word that John continues to use throughout this gospel. This is really the only time in the beginning, in this introduction, that he uses the word logos. Why didn't he use the word like others used, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Lamb, or Lord? Why not use the titles that others used here? Because John wants to use the title logos because he wants to reach as many people as he possibly can. You see, the word logos was a word that went wide and deep in every culture of John's day. By using this word to describe Jesus, he had the attention of more people than he would have had if he used any other word. The term logos enabled John to stand on common ground with all cultures, all societies, all languages. For the Greeks, logos was the rational principle behind the universe. It was the source of life. For the Stoic philosopher, logos was the integration of the universe. It was the common theme. And then you go to the Jewish philosophers. Logos was the agent of creation. One philosopher called the logos the captain and pilot of the universe. Again, John used the term to bring all kinds of people into this conversation. And this is the conversation that we hold today. In fact, when I first became a believer, I was turned to read the Gospel of John. They said, read the Gospel of John, and you're going to understand what people all over the world understand when they read that passage of Scripture. So the Word became a human being. The story took on the form of flesh and blood. John wants all of us to know that Mary's child, the man from Galilee who walks with, eats with, plays with real flesh and blood, is the one who created the universe. The man who would laugh so hilariously, the religious leaders thought he was drunk. The man who weeps so deeply at the grave of his friend Lazarus is none other than the God of life. The man who was so tired and so thirsty, he asked a Samaritan woman for a drink of water, is the one who put the formula of water together in the beginning. Now get this, when Caesar Augustus thought he ruled the world, the one who spoke all the galaxies and their stars into space lay speechless in a cattle trough. When Quirinius was the great governor of Syria, the star maker himself entrusted himself to a teenage girl. When Herod the Great was leveraging his power as he did often, God the Logos needed a mother to feed him and change his diapers. There's this great poem who's written by Lucy Shaw, and she writes it from the perspective of Mary. And she says this, quiet he lays, whose vigor hurled a universe. He sleeps, whose eyelids have never closed before. Older than eternity, now he is new. Now native to earth as I am, nailed to my poor planet. Caught that I might be free, blind in the womb to know my darkness ends, brought to his birth for me to be newborn, and for him to see me mended, I must see him torn. The story of the Word in flesh. I want to finish with just a few thoughts about how this story, the Word, actually transforms the world and transforms you and I. Because the story became flesh, then we have been given unbelievable dignity and value. So what does that word dignity, unbelievable dignity mean? It means that God did not become an angel. He did not become an animal. God became a human being. And because he became a human being, he forever dignifies our flesh and blood. God so loved us that he became us. Think about that. He became us. Because the story became flesh, we discover the incredible depth of God's love. God loved us so much that God changed. You see, before he asked you to change or me to change, he changed. He went before us and changed. He became something that he was not. He became flesh. Before Christmas, the living God was a spirit. But that day in Bethlehem, that changed forever because he took upon himself our humanness. God changed the form of his existence forever that you and I might be free forever. Because the story became flesh, we have this unbelievable comfort in our suffering, in our pain, in our sorrow. Because Christmas expresses this unbelievable empathy of God. Not sympathy. That's something totally different. We're talking about empathy. God became humanity in pain. He became humanity in grief. He became humanity in sorrow. The Word became flesh. So what does Christmas declare to us today? And I think it's a good thought for us to have as we leave this place and we celebrate in the other places and other homes that we're going to be today and tomorrow. Here it is. It means this. It's God who hangs on a tree. It's God who experiences human violence and injustice for us. Because the story became flesh, we have hope for the future. There is this deep, abiding assurance that we'll be made whole again. Even though you might not be able to see it right now in the circumstances you face, even though it seems far off and maybe even difficult to bring into your world right now, because in that stable on Christmas Eve, God forever married himself to our humanity. He tied up his future with our future. And here's the assurance we have this Christmas season. Our future is as secure as the future of God. If you think right now you may be in the dark, know that there is a light coming. If you think right now that you're confused, know there's clarity coming. Because all those who call on the name of the Lord are invested with God and have the security of our future in him. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Lastly, because the story became flesh, we have been given the privilege and invitation to worship God. And that's what we do here this morning. Because all who came to the stable that night, the one thing that they had in common, they worshiped a newborn king. So whether they were people of lowly roots like the shepherd, or whether they were people that have kingly state, like the wise men, the story in flesh invited and compelled them to worship him. And that story still compels us today. It draws us in and invites us to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what we have the privilege of doing this wonderful Christmas season. Would you do this with me? Would you just bow your head just for a moment? And I just want to pray a blessing over you and your family and what God is doing in your life. Father, we come to you in the awesome name of Jesus. That the story we talk about here is a real story. It's a story that became flesh. The Word became flesh for us. You've invested in our lives. You've given us salvation. You've given us eternal life. And for that, we are incredibly grateful. And so, Lord, today, we just thank you for the hope, the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's always in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus that we pray. And we say together, amen and amen. We're going to do something right now. We're going to take a moment and we're going to light our candles, which I look forward to every Christmas season, every Christmas Eve service. And I want you to keep this in mind. What our story told us today is that in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness does not overcome the light. Today, what we want to do is declare the light of Jesus Christ in our own lives. Is that light shined on you, and now we have an opportunity to shine that light on others. In just a moment, what we're going to see is this room is going to be lit up by every single candle that comes together and makes a bright light. That's a powerful statement of our faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask that right now we just have the ushers go ahead and light our candles. And this is what we're going to do. A little instruction. Take your unlit candle and put it into the lit candle. That avoids a fire, so we just want you to know that. And it really helps the person next to you stay calm. And so we want to just take this light right now, and we're going to pass this light out. It's going to go from one person to the next, and to the next. And till all of our lights are lit. Jesus is the light of the world. And the Bible says that we've been given a light. We should not hide that light, but we should shine that light. Because shining that light wherever you are, whether you're at school or on the job, in the community, when you choose to shine that light brightly, it changes everything around you. It changes the people around you because they can see that light. You might be the one they come and ask for help. You might be the one they come to and ask you to pray for them. If your heart would just be open to shine your light in the days to come and going into the new year, the world changes. The world is transformed by the wonderful light of Jesus Christ. Let's sing this together.
Hallelujah. Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Would you do this with me? Would you just hold your light up? And we want to sing that first verse again, just together with our light held high. Let's do that.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Now, with them still raised up, just look around the room and just see the power of light coming together. God has brought light to our lives. I want to do something. You can hold your candle down now, and we're going to do something we do every year, and that is just to honor those that have walked with Jesus. And this is what I want to ask. If you haven't come to faith in Christ yet, which I hope you do, I hope you understand the invitation always is open to call on the name of the Lord. If you haven't done that yet, and you have been, let's say, saved and known Jesus for 10 years, would you blow your light out? Would you do that? If you've been saved for 10 years or less, blow your light out. Would you do that? For those that have been saved for 20 years to 30 years, would you blow your light out? I want to thank those that have just blown out their lights, especially those at the very beginning. What you've done is you've discovered identity in Christ Jesus as following Him as your Lord and Savior. When you serve the Lord a little longer, what happens is we have the opportunity to serve others and the joy of serving others and what that means in our lives. For those that have known the Lord for 30 to 40 years, 40 years or less, would you blow out your candle? What I want to do is thank you for showing the way, being mentors to others that are finding their journey at times difficult. What you've been able to do is invest into their lives. I so appreciate that. So appreciate that. For those that have known the Lord 50 years or less, would you blow out your candles? 50 years or less. Wow. 60 years or less. Mine goes out. For those that have known the Lord for 60 years or more, just hold up your candle. Would you do that? Wow. Just hold it up if you can do that. Lord, I just want to thank the Lord for what He has done by giving us your story, your testimony, and that you were trailblazers for us that are in this room. And so today we want to thank you for providing a legacy for each one of us. Your faith in Jesus Christ reminds us that we still have room to grow, and reminds us that we have others to follow. So today I want to thank you for shining your light so brightly. You can blow out your candles now. Would you let them know you appreciate them? Thank you. Amen. 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 Listen, you can hold on to those candles. On the way out, we're going to have ushers. You're going to be able to drop those candles into their baskets, or you can keep them. You might want to share candlelight time at your own home. Annette, come on up here. We just want to thank you for being here with us today, and we hope that your time this Christmas, tonight, tomorrow, and really the days to come will be the most joyous ever. And so let's sing this song as we leave today. Let's do that. Once again, Merry, Merry Christmas. We're so glad that we're together today, and I know that you're going to enjoy the next few hours. We also want to invite you to a pancake breakfast out in the patio. I did hear rumor, and I think it's true, that there were free donuts out in the lobby. So, you know, whatever you want to do there, it's up to you. Go enjoy fellowship. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.